thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. Today, we'd like to understand, once and for all, what is the secret of the eternity of the Jewish people? Stay with us, Nitza, please. Okay, so we'll start our talk with a few very exciting quotations which have inspired us, and we'd like to share it with our viewers. So I'm starting with a quote by Mark Twain, and he says, "The Jew saw them all, beat them all, and is now what he always was, exhibiting no decadence, no infirmities of age, no weakening of his parts, no slowing of his energies, no dulling of his alert and aggressive mind. All things are mortal but the Jew. All other forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality?" And the Russian philosopher Nikolai Berdyaev adds to that in his book, The Meaning of History. He says, according to the materialistic criterion, this nation should have passed from this world a long time ago. Its existence is a mysterious and wondrous phenomenon, which testifies that it is directed by an ancient decree. And today we'd like to try and understand, what is that mystery, wonder, which stands behind the eternity of the Jewish people? Seemingly, in each and every generation, someone tries to eradicate us. Rationally wise, we should have disappeared a long time ago, but we're still here. So what does the wisdom of Kabbalah say about the secret of the eternity of the Jewish people? Maybe it's a secret for someone who doesn't know, but actually it's the most open thing. It says in the Torah that we are the eternal people. It says that we have to be light to the nations. It says that we have to bring all of humanity to the purpose of its development, meaning to bring them all the way. And that's us. And therefore, all the nations, they can disappear, change. Today, there aren't any more nations like there were in ancient Babylon. None. Even looking at the historical map of Europe, suppose, all the nations that you have in Europe today are not the same, are not the original nations, that this is how they were, suppose, 2,000 or 1,000 years ago. That comes as a result of a mixture that vast masses of people from Asia came to Europe, and therefore there is no nation which exists. Well, I'm not talking about the Chinese, the Hindus, the Japanese, maybe in Africa. There were also changes, but relatively small. Whereas the people of Israel, they remained only in the past few years, past 100, 150 years, they started losing their form, external, corporeal form, whereas not the internal one. We were created as a group organized by Abraham out of the inhabitants of Babylon, ancient Babylon. We talked about it many times on our shows. And the people of Israel, as they were back then, which is not a nation, it's a group, it's an ideological group, which connected with Abraham, to Abraham, because he said, let's connect between us despite our burning ego. Let's connect, and in this connection we'll discover godliness, and we will know what our destiny is, and when we'll discover godliness, we'll know both what our destiny is and the eternal life in the next world and the upper dimension, that we'll start feeling our life there in a completely different way than we feel it here. Connecting with godliness, being fulfilled by the upper light, we start discovering the upper dimension, this matrix, special matrix that we can exist in. And the entire plan of the world has its forces, and it's leading us through a certain development. We see that we're developing through certain phases. Maybe this development doesn't always seem good and nice, but this development has laws to it, and historians, philosophers, scientists, they all study these laws, even though that they can't grasp their inner content. But these laws, according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, have a complete and very clear explanation of what we have to do, that we have to be that very group, like Abraham had organized us, a group that connects above its ego, where everyone who feels that it's important to connect because through that you achieve godliness comes to that group, regardless what nation he comes from, or what place, which religion, doesn't matter where he comes from, or what does he come from. And he has a place in this group. And if he exerts himself in the right direction, then he tries to build the group called the people of Israel, where truly there is no such nation, but these are as if remnants from different no longer existing nations, but these remnants remain because they headed towards an eternal goal that the whole of humanity has to attain after 6,000 years. Is it true to say that the Jew is the symbol of eternity and therefore it's a nation that survives everything, whatever you do to them? Because they themselves symbolize the eternity? They themselves don't symbolize eternity in any way. In general, any person can be a Jew. Suppose an Italian comes up and says, I want to connect with you. He becomes a Jew. That's it. What is there about him being Italian or black or white or red or yellow from all the 70 nations of the world? Doesn't matter. A Jew is something which is above nature. Yehudi, a Jew, it is an ideology where I have to rise above my egoistic nature and be connected with everyone. The connection with everyone, with all other people, is called yichud, unity in Hebrew. And whoever wants to live in that yichud, in that unity, is called a Jew. Therefore, by attaining the status of a Jew, I lose everything that I have in this world, nationality, the previous relations with everyone, everything. I become something different, something else. So anyone who's engaged or is dealing with connection is promised an eternal life. I don't know what a person's dealing with or is engaged in. Anyone who is engaged in connection, according to what the wisdom of Kabbalah, the authentic wisdom of Kabbalah, explains, where we're working on ourselves according to the sources, then by attaining the connection between us, we achieve a connection with the upper force called the Bore, Creator. So we really reach a state where we are Bo inside of him, and in that state we reach his revelation, which is Re, see, come and see, Bo Ue. And then we're truly called Jews, the people of the Creator, his people, the people of God, where by our connection we create a vessel for him, we give him what to lean on so he can also be connected with us. And then this way we start feeling our connection, the Creator that's fulfilling us, the connection between us with him, and this is called the attainment of the upper world. Why does this principle of connection that's standing behind the eternity of the Jewish people keeps, protects the Jewish people, not allowing them to disappear as it? Because to begin with, our forefathers that began this process, they started rising above the earthly ego and preferring to be in connection above the ego, above the separation. And by being drawn throughout all the generations, more or less strongly in different ways, they were drawn to connection, to unity. By that, they were similar to the Creator. They resembled the Creator, the upper light that worked on them, sometimes more strongly, sometimes less strongly, to the extent to which their effort towards connection was seen, evident in their life, above all their problems and troubles and so on. And we can't disconnect the fate of the nation from this mission, destiny of it, that it has to reach the complete, comprehensive connection. And to the extent to which they were drawn to connection, their fate in those times was good. The moment they left their connection, they really fell, and different enemies came against them, haters, and they had a very bad situation. The fate of this nation is very, very clear. It's very clear that their entire history, which is almost 6,000 years old, from Adam HaRishon, Adam the First, who was the first Jew, who spoke about connection, about unity, who discovered the secret. And that's how they lived. And therefore, this nation, because it is drawn to connection, and since this force was always more or less connected to this nation, the upper force, therefore they're called the eternal nation, the eternal people, and they continue their existence. Only usually they have a problem that the problems, the calamities which they experience are much greater than other nations. Where even though that it's an eternal people, nonetheless they all the time get blows. Yeah, always persecuted and so on. Yes, and the wisdom of Kabbalah explains this because in each and every moment of their history, they're not willing enough to keep the connection, the unity, and are not drawing the reforming light enough, the force of the light which corrects them so that later on it can dwell within them. And that's the problem. Let's stop for just one moment. I want to return to the first question that we started off with. As Mark Twain says, that if you look at history, you see great strong nations which all disappear, and the Jewish people are the only ones that remain. And he ends his question with, what is the secret of his immortality? What would you say? The secret of their immortality is because they're connected to that upper eternal light. And throughout their history, which is going on for almost 6,000 years now, since the days of Adam HaRishon, the first Adam, 5,777 years to this day, then this people is connected to the upper force, and either they get blows from the upper force because they're not realizing the connection, and then they're not drawing the upper light sufficiently, and then the upper light when it does not dwell sufficiently upon that group called the people of Israel, then that group experiences blows because come different enemies, the wicked of the nations of the world, and strike Israel, and vice versa. When Israel improve their situation, this is only with respect to connection, to unity, then this upper light is close to them, and they feel good. The nations of the world here, throughout this entire history, that come and go and change in different forms, no nation remained as it was at the beginning, suppose from ancient Babylon and on. And therefore, the nations of the world, they as if subconsciously, or from nature's point of view, are operated this way, that if the people of Israel, they keep the commands of nature, keep its laws, then there is an illumination from the people of Israel to the nations of the world and everything calms down. If the people of Israel carry out nature's orders to a lesser degree, meaning they're not working on their connection in the conditions in which they exist, then the upper light distances from the people of Israel. The illumination does not pass through the people of Israel to the nations of the world. And then they come with complaints against the people of Israel that you're bad, that you're this, and you're that. So here I'd say that the nations of the world are the consumers of the upper light, and the people of Israel are the transition of the upper light. And the provider is the upper light, the creator. And therefore, the three of them are working together. The creator brings blows upon the people of Israel for them to hurry up and get the upper light from him to pass it on to the nations of the world. The nations of the world, whether we hurry up or don't, turn to us in a nice way or in a completely not nice way, and we're in the middle, suffering both from above and also from below. Okay, so I understand a few things now. First of all, it was a beautiful description that there's the provider, which is the upper light, there's the transition, which are the people of Israel, and there are the customers, the consumers, which are the nations of the world. So I understand the idea that if the people of Israel, which are the transition, if they cooperate with the provider, the upper force, the light, then they feel good. If not, they start suffering. But I saw a very interesting thing, which is what we're asking about. Despite everything, even when we're not cooperating and we're in our worst times, where we're being eradicated and the Holocaust that wanted to bring a final solution to the Jewish people, still it seems that there is some force, the provider, that keeps the Jewish people. Yeah, obviously, we can't disappear off the map, because without us, all human beings will not be able to achieve the revelation of the Creator, which comes to them only through us. And therefore, they have a demand towards us, sometimes very harsh demands. And also the Creator is in demand towards us. Why are we not keeping our destiny? But our eternity is, of course, by us being connected to the realization of the entire process. At the end of the process, everyone reaches eternity, but a different kind of eternity already, a spiritual one, not the corporeal eternity. Corporeally wise, we say that if you still exist, and you don't disappear, and you weren't exchanged by some other nation, then it's called that you're eternal. That's temporary, because our entire world and all of us here, the Jews that are here and the nations of the world, it's all a temporary matter till the end of the 6,000 years that we have to soon finish. Until then, all of us must unite. What is that component about the Jew which makes him eternal? Connection with the Creator, which is called the point in the heart, which means what? That in a Jew there is a desire, where this desire awakens him to connect with the upper force, with the Creator. And then he has connection with the upper light. When he connects to the Creator, also as a result, he has a certain mechanism with which he can come to the nations of the world and shine onto them. We can't come to the nations of the world right now and shine onto them because we have nothing to shine with, and therefore they don't believe that we have anything. They know just one thing. They know for sure that the Jews, the people of Israel, are causing them problems. They hate the people of Israel, an unfounded hatred, even without any reason. I hate them, can't stand them. Don't know why. And this is above nature, because it really stems from a degree which is higher than our nature. So again, what component does a Jew possess which connects him with eternity? The point in the heart. It's called a desire to discover and connect with godliness. And if I, as a Jew, suppose don't have that desire to discover and connect with godliness, then I'm connected to eternity or not? One way or another, you'll get blows, and you'll feel that you have this point, this desire. Can you define this desire a bit more clearly? This desire is called, what is the meaning of life? What am I living for? What's going on in this world? Most of the people I know don't have these questions. These are philosophical questions. They're not philosophical. Here we're talking about what is the meaning of life, where I'm asking about my connection with upper force, from where all the different phenomena, desires, revelations come from, where I'm asking about higher things which are beyond my success in this world. I don't want this world and my success here. I'm asking about the eternal process. What's happening with the entire universe? What happens above the universe? What happens with time, space, and motion? What happens with people before they're born and after they die? I'm asking about what I'm revealing inside my desire that our entire existence here isn't corporeal, meaning that our body lives and dies, but there's a kind of an inclination, an attraction towards a higher degree, to be eternal. And how many of the Jewish people do you identify these questions to this day, suppose? It's not that I identify. This point in the heart, which is the connection with upper force, which is the general nature, this point exists in everyone, even in the nations of the world, because we mixed with them. We became included with them throughout the exile. But this point really exists in those people which were once in Babylon and left under the rule of Abraham, and then later on during the times of the temple went into exile and exist to this day. Once I heard a Christian priest who said that the fact that the people of Israel keep existing and do not perish from the world, it is proof that the Creator exists and that they are His chosen people and so on, meaning everything that is written in the Holy Scriptures is proved by the fact that the people of Israel doesn't disappear. What do you think about that? Oh, okay, he thinks that that's proof then. Fine. And what do you think? Is it proof that the people of Israel do not disappear, whatever happens? It is a historical phenomenon, very impressive one. How this group exists, no matter how many attempts are made to get rid of them, it's never over. It's a relatively small group. How many are there? But it's like a small Chinese village. Does it prove anything about God and His plan towards people? It doesn't prove anything. There is no proof. We see a phenomenon. This phenomenon is not a proof. You can turn it any way you want. But we're bringing proof. from the revelation of our connection with the Creator. As a result, we also reveal our connection with the rest of humanity, and we say that we have to connect with the upper force, so that this force will also reach the rest of the nations of the world through them. From what I understood, the people of Israel have to be the transition of this energy to the rest of the nations of the world, the abundance. Okay, what is this abundance that the people of Israel have to pass on to the world? This abundance is where we transcend, rise above our corporeal level, where today we're living inside our body and we serve it, onto the Adam level, the human level. Adam means he who resembles the upper force in bestowal, loving, giving. This is the degree that we have to come to, and its expression is that we truly connect as one man and one heart, and we come to the sensation of love, which is the inclusion of everyone with everyone, truly into one desire, one heart. And suppose that the people of Israel are advancing towards that place and there's a bit more love among the Jewish people. What abundance passes on to the rest of humanity thanks to that? They start feeling that they're living in an upper dimension, both we and they, together with the Creator. What does that mean? That we connect to the Creator on the one hand, and on the other hand, we connect with all of humanity, and the Creator fulfills us, the upper force. And then we become eternal, whole, and perfect like He is. Fulfills us with what? With His light. His light is that energy, that fulfillment, which gives us eternity, perfection, eternal existence for all of us, for all the inhabitants of the world. That's the eternity. That's the eternity. We're now in eternity by designation. Then the entire world will be in eternity by result. This was really intriguing. We'd love to hear more about this. In the meantime, thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Nitza. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.